The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and awe were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is coming is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of our Lord.
So Veronica reads to us from Paul's letter to the people of Philippi. "Do not worry about anything." And the little voice goes off in the back of my brain, "Are you kidding me? Do you know what day it is? Do you know where we are? Do you know what's coming?" I mean, yesterday I went up to Reno to gather with all my kids and their significant others and all of the grandkids to celebrate my youngest granddaughter's fourth birthday. And somewhere in the course of the conversation, my older daughter, Becca, said, "9 days till Christmas." I went, "What?" Then Paul goes on to say, after encouraging us not to worry about anything, says, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Dear God, please get on Amazon the following gifts." Are you folks ready for Christmas? Okay, thank you so much. Good, because I went into shock yesterday when my older daughter made mention of 9 days till, and I thought, good Lord, I've got some work to do here. And, of course, you know, that's the thing. I mean, when we hear this kind of language, and by the way, Paul is in prison at the hands of Imperial Rome, being taken to the city of Rome where he knows he'll be executed. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind as the image when we hear Paul say, oh, don't worry about anything. Right? I mean, we all have legwork. I mean, you know, it's not a matter of just, oh, God's going to take care of everything. We have stuff to do. But to live in a way that suggests, and for me, this requires a certain discipline, living in a way that suggests that you and I are not the ones that are in charge. You know, that God is in charge. So, just a little note there. And then we have this scene that Betty shared with us from the third chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. And again, it is helpful to recall that in the first couple of centuries of the Common Era, that these people were living in a war zone. They were under siege, and their towns, their villages, their holy city, Jerusalem, is being destroyed, has already been destroyed, and is about to be destroyed for the final time by the middle of the second century. And so there's a lot of fear, there are a lot of questions, there are a lot of different ideas about how this situation is going to be resolved. From, you know, the Messiah is going to be one who has a sword and is going to lead, you know, the troops of Jewish people to rout Imperial Rome. That never happens, although there were many that tried over the generations. And so in the midst of this war zone, we've got John the Baptist out in the wilderness. And he's out there because from the vantage point of the ancient tradition, this is where the people of God encounter God, is in the wilderness. They have all kinds of stories about, you know, how that works. And so, of course, he's going to go, you know, tramping out in the wilderness. And a whole bunch of folks from the towns and villages and cities come out to hear him. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth, and you can imagine, if you were in that crowd and you went out to hear John and then you came back to your village or your city and people said, hey, what did he have to say? And you say, I don't know, but I got the T-shirt. It's kind of hard to see. You brood of vipers, is what it says. You know, so I got the T-shirt too. I save it for special functions, right? And he ends his little diatribe with the words, his winnowing fork is in hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat, but the chaff we will burn to unquenchable fire. And we all go, oh my God, it's all, you know. And you and I, because we've been conditioned to do this, we kick into all of the questions about how are we going to be saved, and it's a question that comes up not in this story, but in some of the other stories. How are we going to be saved? How are we going to get into heaven? How are we going to avoid hell? And we miss the entire point of this passage. And the point is embedded in the question that the people ask, those who actually go out into the wilderness with John. And the question is not how are we saved, but rather what do? And I'm here to tell you, they're asking the right question. They're asking a really helpful question. What do? And notice John's answers. So the crowd comes, what do? And John says, share. And then the tax collectors, who actually there were two kinds of taxes collected in the provinces of ancient Rome. One was a tax levied against the citizenry, but in this particular case, what if you look at the ancient Greek manuscript, what they're talking about is not those general tax collectors who were probably, for the most part, Roman citizens, not always, but these are toll booth collectors. I mean, Rome really figured this whole thing out. I mean, they created a civilization. You've read the histories, you know, aqueducts, Roman roads, some of which are still in existence today, right? I mean, they had this amazing infrastructure, and somebody had to pay for it. And so they levied a general tax, but then, particularly for the roads, they also set up these toll booths. And they would hire local folks, so these would be Jewish people, not Roman citizens, on the roads collecting tolls against their neighbors. And apparently, some of them, again, figuring we're living in a war zone here, and it's every man, woman, and child for themselves, and so, yeah, I'm going to collect the tax, but I'm also going to get a little extra and skim it off the top, right? I mean, let's be smart about it. It'll just be a little bit. No one will even know. And John says to those folks, knock it off. Stop it. And then the soldiers, and why would soldiers be coming out to hear this guy in the wilderness? Anybody wonder about that, like me? These are not Roman soldiers. These are mercenaries. Yeah, probably Jewish mercenaries. Again, everybody, this is a war zone. You got to make a buck somehow. I mean, you've got to make a living one way or another. And what is the primary economy of the Palestine right now? The war. So, you know, be a mercenary. And especially, you can, you know, kind of keep your chops and hone your, you know, your warring skill so that when the real Messiah shows up, who's going to take up the sword and wipe out the Roman legions, you'll be ready. You'll be fired up and ready to go. And they come out, and they're asking the same question, what do we do? And John says, stop holding it over everybody, you know, and stop using your skills to extort your neighbor. And on the one hand, you could think of the heart of this message in answer to the question, what do we do, is really an invitation. And I think if John the Baptist were to show up today, he would agree with this, would say, in effect, reconfigure your economic system. Rebuild your economy so that everybody's getting something out of it, you know, so that everyone is acquiring what they need. And from John's vantage point, and Jesus would probably agree with this as well, maybe not the execution of it, but the end result of it, this is part of the vision of the kingdom, is that everyone has what they need, right? Well, it's not the world that those in the first couple of centuries of the Common Era were living in, nor is it the world in which we live, is it? I mean, we haven't structured an economy that makes sure that everybody gets what they need. So we get to keep asking the question, but make sure it's the helpful question, the right question, not how are we going to be saved? Because that's That's not our issue. That's a done deal. The real question is, what do we do? Given the situation that we're in, given the world in which we live, the economy in which we operate, what do we do? And so we find all kinds of creative ways to make sure that people who are in need are getting what they need. And especially this time of year, I mean, there are so many opportunities to do that. Toy drives and ways of giving and meals to be shared and homeless to be housed and those in poverty to be given a hand up in order to get out of poverty. On and on the opportunities go. You and I are invited simply to pay attention to all those opportunities. And as long as we're asking the helpful question, what do? We'll get an answer, won't we? I mean, we will get an answer to that question. All kinds of opportunities will present themselves. So, if we keep asking the question, how are we saved, and focusing on our personal salvation, which, by the way, is the heart of popular Christianity in the United States, it will keep us in our comfortable self-centeredness, focused on ourselves. But rather, what do we do is an opportunity to be drawn out of ourselves, to be of service to the people around us, and to participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, that larger agenda that God would have for the world. So, we got 8 days now, don't we? Yeah, I think the prayer that Paul is encouraging from prison when he says, oh, don't worry about anything, the prayer goes something like this. Dear God, help, please. And thank you. Yes, I can always count on you folks. There's always a piece that I forget, isn't there? So yes, dear God, please help, thank you. And the people said,
amen.
Amen. Take a nice deep breath.